Hey, Dan.
Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the Autobahn of free speech because you're driving, you're far and off the Autobahn, and it's a smooth ride. As long as somebody's paying for the gas, you got to pay for the gas, or that smooth ride will come to an end, just as it is with RBN. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, go to the donate page, and follow the instructions. Keep RBN filled up to the top with badly needed fundage, and download the CoSertified app, because while you're far and off the Autobahn, you want to make sure that those snacks you're eating are not kosher certified, or they are. You want to know. You want to know all about that. So do that. Go to nationalbugle.com, download the CoSertified app. Okay, so today we have with us Paul Stevenson, who just got done with the last show, and he's been kind enough to hang on for this show. Paul, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you, Patrick. It's always good.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, the past several times that you've been on, we've talked largely about Ukraine, the events in Ukraine, the implications of it. And I want to pursue that some more. You know, we've had over the past couple of days the surrender of, 1,500 Ukrainian fighters who had been in the Azov steel mill. They had been in there, and they've given up. And once they started giving up, I think it was retroactive, correct me if I'm wrong, Zelensky ordered them to give up after they already gave up. I guess it's face saving. You seem to... According to Alexander Mercolis, who's a British journalist who's been covering this heavily, it seems that you are seeing Ukrainian resistance in the Donbass, all over the Donbass, kind of unraveling. And yet you've also got the American Congress poised to send $40 billion worth of military aid over. You got Boris Johnson saying that that Ukraine can win and advising against negotiations. No, let's not have negotiations. Ukraine can win this thing. And, you know, one of the things I want to talk about today is it seems that across the West, United States, England and Sweden and Finland, there's just a dearth of leadership. We have no leadership. Our leaders are amateurish. They don't know what they're doing. And meanwhile, in Russia and China, they seem to have men who know what they're doing. I don't know why in the West we've got these men, women, and trannies who just seem clueless.
Yeah, clueless or just completely unscrupulous. I mean, this whole development of Sweden and Finland, two countries which have remained neutral, two countries you kind of look to as a way with, some respect that they've remained neutral. They've got on with their business. They've largely been immune from the worst of some of the globalist Jewish agendas, although not escaping immigration, of course, particularly in the case of Sweden. But they have, are we really supposed to accept, because there's only two options with this, is that they don't know, that they are ignorant of the fact that Vladimir Putin attacked the Ukraine largely because of Ukraine's expressed interest in joining NATO, and because of its essentially the fact that it is essentially a vassal of NATO, and or they're just corrupt and they've been bought and paid for the interests of Jewish globalism. Because I can't see any other option. Sadly, I'm inclined to sort of lean towards the latter. Because those two countries, they know. I mean, Finland's been invaded by Russia or the USSR, so I guess it has maybe can get a little bit nervous, but not in recent times. And, you know, I mean, they have remained neutral. And they're actually putting a target in their back now. But then, of course, you've got this young woman. She looks about 15. Sanna Marin is the prime minister. And, of course, these people are very easily bribed. You know, there's a lot of ambition. And so they, what amazes me, and it's ubiquitous here as well. The lack of, like you mentioned, men, adults in the room. Everyone seems to have completely lost their fear of World War III nuclear weapons at a time when it's never been more precarious. It's never been closer. I just don't really understand it. It's just people must just assume that Vladimir Putin's a moron when he says something. And I suppose I've covered articles like that where they just think it's bravado on Russia's part. Well, I think we're really playing with fire there, because if Poland or Finland get invaded or hit, first of all, they're not going to like it, and then that's going to escalate into a wider conflict. But no one seems to be really that bothered about it. I mean, it's incredible to me. You know, I just don't understand it.
Well, okay, so, you know, are these people stupid? Are they bribed? And then you're going to have some sort of mix. You brought up Sanna Marin, where I had brought her up, and you named her, who's 36. She's been prime minister for 2.5 years already. She became prime minister at 34. And honestly, if you're a 34-year-old, just becoming prime minister, that's bribe enough, right, for a 34-year-old. And I don't know a whole lot about this woman. You look at her, she's very striking. She's very beautiful.
She is very pretty, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an improvement on Theresa May and Nicola Sturgeon. And
Theresa May was fun. Because she had that faith and those expressions. She had the most bizarre expressions. And so there are all these photos of her on the internet with these grimaces and just it, which was fun. But with Sanna.
Yeah, she was constantly in a battle with her own face.
She was. And I'm sure she was conscious of it. How could she not be? But with Sanna Marin, I don't know a whole lot about her. I know a few things. Okay, she's 36. She was raised by lesbians.
Oh, really?
Raised by lesbians. I guess she just got married recently, but she had a incident last year where she was out clubbing. It was before she was married, I think. She was out at a disco or whatever they call it nowadays, clubbing, and not realizing that went against her orders to her population about COVID restrictions, and then came up with, oh, I didn't realize that. I didn't know. And then the other controversy that she's been in was posing for a picture where she's wearing a jacket but no shirt. You know, it's just kind of like, honestly, kind of like an Instagram slut kind of picture. Okay. And when it became a controversy, her various supporters around Finland and maybe around the world started doing the same pose with the jacket and no shirt, saying, well, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with this? Well, okay, so my conclusion, not knowing a whole – and I've seen her speak a little bit, you know, speak a little bit. She speaks English. She's got a Finnish accent. Is that – I mean – either she's not very bright, or maybe she's bright, but she's not very mature. But she can't be both.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and
well, I think she's part of this from what you've said. She's been brought up with this sort of, you know, global liberal type values. Her parents are lesbians, so she'll, you know, I don't think it would take too much to bribe her. She's probably a mixture of stupid or, you know, lacking discernment and corrupt as well, you know. But, you know, she sounds like the perfect sort of person that they would love to work with.
Yeah. And the point that Alexander Mercolis was making about both her and the Swedish prime minister, who's also a woman, she's in her mid-50s. I don't imagine she'd be posing shirtless. and what was her name? Her name's Anderson, Magdalena Anderson, who's only been prime minister since last November. Both of these women are breaking with longstanding neutrality, as you mentioned. I'm not sure how doesn't Swedish. I mean, Sweden was neutral in the world wars, and yeah, I think their neutrality goes back to what around the Treaty of Paris, 1815, something like that. They've had longstanding neutrality. Finland.
It goes back to about when Solomon's Temple was built.
Okay, and then Finland. You know, back during the Cold War, there was a term, Finlandization. And Finland had been part of the Russian Empire. The Finns aren't Slavs, but it was part of the Russian Empire. So it only gained independence in the 20th century after World War I. And then after World War II, it was not exactly a Soviet satellite. It was autonomous. It had its own market economy. It wasn't run by a communist party, but the communists always had there was a communist party, and they always had a role in government. They might have been a coalition partner, but Finlandization, the term Finlandization meant that it would be non-aligned. It would not be threatening to Russia, and in exchange for it being non-threatening to Russia, it was allowed its, autonomy, its internal autonomy.
Yeah.
And that was the term, Finlandization. And frankly, I support the Finlandization of Finland. People used to use the term Finlandization. Oh, we can't allow the Finlandization of, Europe or whatever. That was a term that was used a lot in the 70s and 80s. But the point that Alexander Mikulas was making is that in they've already abandoned the neutrality and made formal applications to join NATO, which is an explicitly anti-Russian organization, and are likely not going to be able to join NATO because somebody forgot to check with Turkey, Erdogan, who has the second largest military in NATO, and is staunchly against it. Seems he's making demands that you can't imagine.
Demands.
Maybe the demands could be met, or maybe they could be negotiated. But it seems the demand is both Finland and Sweden in particular. They have these huge Kurdish populations because they've invited in Infinity Kurds. Amongst these Kurds are leaders of the PKK, this pro-independence party for Kurdistan, that is anathema to the Turkish leadership, and they're not going to get it.
He's also looking for sanctions to be removed, and let me just see here, I've got a list of them in front of me here. He wants to remove economic sanctions on Turkey and its purchases of S-400 ADS. He also wants to be re-included in the F-35 program, and he wants to purchase dozens of F-16s and its upgrade kits. So, I mean, he's prepared to make a deal, but, and if those demands are met, then he's obviously going to relinquish, I suppose, the spanner in the works. He will remove that spanner. But I think it's a good thing in a way that it's delayed. It's a little bit more complex. It makes it a lot less simple for Sweden and Finland to join, and it also, I suppose, gives Russia an opportunity to speak to Turkey and try and work out a deal, because, as Putin is, he's willing to see if he can make deals with people as well if it's in his interest. So I'm glad that there is that spanner in the works anyway, but Erdogan's always got his little ambitions, and the interesting thing about it is it just exposed how this whole thing is not about the Ukrainian people. Erdogan just come in there and say, doesn't really even care about the pretense about the poor Ukrainians. That is what I want out of this whole thing,
Right. And then the government of Croatia has followed suit. And
what can I get? Saying,
what can I get? They say we care.
Christmas.
We care a lot more about ethnic Croats in Bosnia than we do about the Finnish border. So what can we get out of it? And they're saying it very bluntly. But, you know, with Sweden in particular, if the demand is going to be to hand over these leaders of the PKK, which are operating out of Sweden, I can't see this woman saying, okay, we're going to hand over these Kurds to you. I just don't see it happening. So maybe I'm wrong. I'm not an expert in this, but
no, you're probably right. As I say, I think this gets a lot more complex. You know, and so some of these demands might never be able to be met by Erdogan or Croatia or any of these people. But it is interesting just how, you know, the countries are sort of gathering around Father Christmas, that is Ukraine, to see how they can improve their military gear or whatever their own little agendas are, you know. But another article I was looked at earlier was just about how much of that money is, you know, where is it all going? Like $54 billion, the America's now printed up there, Patrick, for, in quotes, you know, aid. I mean,
well, I just with these women in Sweden and Finland and at the State Department, Victoria Nuland and the non-women there too. There are some non-women. It gets back to this. They're throwing away decades or even centuries old established policies of neutrality, and neutrality has security benefits, right? Because you're not threatening to the big country next door. Throwing away neutrality, losing the security benefit of neutrality in exchange for supposedly the security benefit of Article 5 of NATO, but they're not going to get it. At this point, it doesn't look like they get it. Maybe things will change, and Erdogan is the wild card of all wild cards, so you never really know. But if they're throwing away their neutrality and not getting NATO membership, that they've exposed themselves as being hostile to Russia, this could be
a Georgia situation.
Yeah, who knows what it's going to be? Because who knows where this is going? But they did this without. Why didn't they check with Erdogan? Why didn't the people in Washington, why didn't the people in the State Department, before pushing this NATO membership on them, why didn't they check to make sure that it was actually going to be approved? So,
yeah, well,
it's getting to the question of there don't seem to be adults in charge. We have amateurs in charge of our country.
Yeah. If I was Finland or Sweden, I would have been looking at, before I started making it publicly, like you said, I would have, you know, made it, you know, been looking at what happened to Georgia when they got very uppity, when they thought they were going to join NATO and it fell through, and Russia gave them a good spanking, you know. I mean, that wasn't a pleasant situation for Georgia. And what happens if Russia decides to do the same thing with Finland? Okay, you guys, you know, if the price is right, you're willing to be hostile to us, well, maybe we'll have to put you in your place, and we'll have to, you know, they'll just basically treat them like they're treating Ukraine. I don't know. I mean, okay, they're, you know, it's, they probably don't want to be starting any more wars, but, you know, they're only inviting trouble, if you ask me, you know.
That's right. Okay, we'll be right back.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask. just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point. And through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
The smooth yet staticky sounds of Radio Pyongyang circa 1985.
Very nice.
Very nice. Very nice music. Pyongyang, North Korea is not giving me any problems. Russia's not giving me any problems. You know, it's interesting. The Croatian prime minister or president saying, like, he doesn't care about the Russia-Finnish border. He cares more about Croats in Bosnia. For me, okay, what's Russia done to me? What's China done to me? I'm a pretty much a peace activist, but if I was to suggest war with any country, it would be India, because they've got these people from India who are calling my cell phone incessantly, trying to get me to this scam about extending my car warranty. And I get it. I've been getting it for years, and there's nothing so you got these, literally, I mean, you got these people in India who are taking advantage of us, trying to scam us for money. What is Russia or China doing to us, to a regular person, that's any worse than that?
Well, exactly. I mean, imagine you just ask that question to a German citizen, you know. it's like, going to be cold this winter, potentially. I think, considering how dependent Germany is on Russian natural oil and natural gas, that has to be the most tragic country in Europe.
Is it an ex-country?
What, Germany?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, are any of the countries in Europe actually proper countries anymore? We're just occupied, you know, by Jewish interests and Jewish politicians and, or, you know, Jewish bought and paid for politicians. So, I mean, our countries have lost their identities, and they've lost control of their own direction, and they've lost their demographic cohesion and anatomy. And so, I mean, I was just talking to, you know, Willem Velderhof on the last show. He's over in France, and it's just as bad over there. I mean, it's so Africanized, and it's so Arabs. There's so many Arabs and so many Africans. I used to go to a holiday in France when I was a kid, and, you know, I mean, it's getting increasingly not much different from going to a North African country, you know?
So I haven't been there for a while. I spent some time there in the 1980s and went back once or twice in this century. But what are the demographics? Like the demographics of London, I know like only something like 22% of the babies born in London are born to English mothers. Is it that bad in Paris? I mean, how close is Paris to being a white minority?
I'm not sure, but in terms of, you know, Muslims in Paris, I think it's even worse than London, and that's saying something. I couldn't comment to that figure you just mentioned there, but it wouldn't surprise me. But, you know, in the consensus in 2011, you know, people who described themselves were white British were a minority, and I would say it's even worse in Paris. So, I mean, it's depressing, really. But yeah, I mean, the point is Russia, you know, we've got no quarrel with Russia. This whole thing is completely unnecessary. It's completely manufactured, and there's also, and the annoying thing is, there's nobody, you know, even some of the less mainstream media, or, you know, the controlled opposition sort of media that, you know, people like Farage and people like that, where they eventually started pushing back on the COVID thing and sort of, you know, getting red-pilled themselves on the amount of, you know, leisure domain there was going on when it came to the data and statistics there. These people are all jumping on the bandwagon for anti-Putin, and it's almost like they think their listeners want to hear this, because it's like they think they're being, oh, you know, this narrative of the conservatives, this would never have happened if Trump had been in office. We need to take a tough line with Vladimir Putin. So they think that by coming out and calling him Mad Vlad and a Kremlin nut, or this is somehow appealing to their listeners. Well, your listeners are a lot more sophisticated than you give them credit for. So go and look in the comments. Everyone thinks you're a bunch of morons. Everyone's saying the same thing. We need to control our own borders. This is just accelerating an already dire economic situation and inflation. Vladimir Putin was backed into a corner. People are educated. People are sophisticated. People understand. But these talking heads on these radio shows, it really is cringeworthy watching like GB News, which it came out about a year, 18 months ago, is supposed to be a reaction to, you know, leftist woke media. But on this whole Russia thing, it's really laughable.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. After spending all day yesterday at the polls for the Pennsylvania primary election, I am more convinced than ever that the primary process is partisan just for the sake of being partisan. I was surprised by the number of independent voters who showed up just to be turned away because they can't vote in closed primary. I find it odd that the voter's political party affiliation is called out for everyone to hear. I still believe that government should have nothing to do with primaries at all. Primary elections are how private organizations choose their candidates. Government should not be involved until the general elections. The entire primary process is nothing but a system put in place by Democrats and Republicans to maintain their control and the illusion of a two-party system. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Cephas Packham, Parabellum.
Okay, well, that was fun. Well, just continuing in this vein, with being on the brink of World War III and having our societies being completely destabilized, having all our liberties taken away because somebody might catch a cold, being invaded, self-invasion, and one, a lot of people think this is part of a grandmaster plan, and, you know, is there a grandmaster plan, or I, you know, to me, it's not so much a singular grandmaster plan, it's a combination well, I mean, largely Jewish interests, but also people who just don't know what the heck they're doing. And, you know, it's a combination of a lot of things. But, and because you look at the people who are actually in charge, you know, Boris Johnson or Victoria Nuland, like the Biden, no, I mean, the Biden, nobody thinks the Biden is actually in charge of anything. And it's hard to identify who's really in charge of the United States. I think it's kind of by committee and, in terms of foreign policy, Victoria Nuland's driving the car. But I don't think these are the smartest people. I think they're murderers, and I think they're racists. No, I'm sorry. They're murderers and rapists, and presumably some of them are good people.
Yeah, well, but, I think there is an element of putting stupid people into these countries as well. I mean, maybe that to some extent that is the case with the young lady in Finland. I mean, these you can tell these people something, and you know, they think, oh, okay, then, you know, they're ignorant of history and they're ignorant of geopolitics. You know, John Mersheimer, you know, he makes the most important thing that the point that he makes is that, I believe, is that it doesn't, if we're thinking clearly, and if we are exercising some sort of intelligence, even if you were to excuse the double standards, surely people would look into the situation and realize that it doesn't matter what we think. If a nuclear power, somebody's armed with, what, 5,000 or 6,000 nukes, feels in a certain way, it doesn't really matter if we think he's a nutter or whatever else. We should listen if we care about our own countries. The sanctions are not helping us. They're only exhausting. I mean, the inflation over here now is exploding. I mean, it's getting ridiculous when you're going to the supermarket now, you know. I remember it started in about October last year, noticing things gone up like, you know, 5p, 10p. But, you know, I like to buy organic milk and organic food and organic food generally. And I used to buy organic milk for, it was about 1.20 for like a 2-liter thing. And then after, you know, around October, November, it was up to about 1.40. Now it's jumped another 30p. So it's up to like 1.70. These are not small jumps. And this is across the board. Petrol prices are very high as well. I mean, it's just like, you know, usually I can put £40 worth of petrol in my car. It does me for, you know, really reasonable time. And I put that in, and I went over, you know, not that big a journey at the weekend. And it almost needs to be, you know, filled up again. I mean, it's just untenable. And, you know, I warned about this because the real crisis was not COVID. The real crisis was an economic crisis. So now you've got, you know, an economic crisis and a risk of a world war, you know. So, I mean, it's a very horrible time to be alive because we're just ruled by a mixture of just really unscrupulous, reckless criminals and or people with very low IQs and knowledge, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, then even people with high IQs, because you mentioned John Mearsheimer. And John Mearsheimer, 30 years ago when I was in grad school and studying international relations, he was on every class syllabus had John Mearsheimer. So he's ensconced at he's at University of Chicago. And but, you know, he's been a leading international relations scholar in academia for decades. And I don't think he... I'm almost positive he's not Jewish. You know, he's from New York City. Usually, you know, I look up at these people, and Mearsheimer is a German-sounding name, but of course, there's more German Americans than English Americans, even. So there's an awful lot of German Americans, an awful lot of people with German ancestry in the United States. He was raised in New York City, which is always a red flag. But otherwise, he just doesn't seem to be Jewish at all. And it was before this, most recently, he was infamous for, along with Stephen Walt, another goyish. Stephen Walt is almost as big a deal international relations theorist at Harvard. And they'd written a book called The Israel Lobby. And it was... you know, not nearly as critical as we on RBN are of Israel, but still, it caused an awful lot of adverse reaction to them. But the thing about John Mearsheimer, he's got his particular view of things, and he is a realist, and the realist in academia in international relations, a realist is might makes right, and you just the strong will do what it's very descriptive. It's not liberalism is about how the international society should be. And realism is supposedly about how it is and might makes right. And you just got to deal with it. And, you know, he's made a very good point, which is pretty obvious that Putin and the Russian leadership sees this as an existential threat to them. because the idea this ultimately doesn't have to do with Ukraine. It has to do with overthrowing the Russian government, and they perceive it. And so even if you want to say, well, United States has more weaponry or NATO has more troops, the thing is, this is not at all existential to NATO or the West, but to Russia it is. So they're much, much more motivated. And if you've got a fight between one person who thinks he's going to die and another person who's just trying to be a nasty person, who's more motivated? And so he's made that point. But I raise him because, like, he's a top academic. He's obviously very, very smart. And yet I heard him recently, and he was saying, well, you know, Russia's losing the war. And where's he getting his information on this? He's getting his information just from the mainstream media. So you have somebody who's the top academic, very, very, very intelligent, and yet is still, and I know other academics who have been like this, who like they're big deal, like in terms of theory and everything, they're very, very smart. But then they'll still turn to the mainstream media and get their information from there. How about
current events? Heard stuff. I came across someone the other day for the first time. I'm trying to remember his name, and you know he was talking a lot of sense for the most part. And then he echoed what I heard John Mersheimer saying that as well. And this guy went into, you know, how Putin has miscalculated, regret it. They've taken tremendous losses. The resistance was way greater than they thought. There's a guy called Chris Hedges Report. There's a guy, Andrew Bakovich, who, as I say, was talking a lot of sense. And then he went on to say, and I'm like, well, where are you getting this information from? I mean, that's not what Russia are saying. I mean, I'm still watching Russia Today. And even though you're going to get propaganda from Russia Today as well, in my experience, it's way, way less than our media, which is almost entirely propaganda now, particularly when it comes to this war. It's just constant lies, whereas you'll get more of a realistic view on Russia Today or even India television. So it's a bit disappointing. I mean, and he went off on this sort of this tip for a while, and then eventually I just
turned it off. Andrew Bakovich, who's
Andrew Bakovich on the Chris Hedges Report on the Real News Network. Yeah.
And I think he's a former colonel in the U.S. military. I think that's his background.
Yeah, and this is very different from what the other two leading guys who are, you know, counter to the Western narrative. What's the what's his name? McGregor and Colonel McGregor and the other guy, what's his name? He's on RT quite a lot, and he's on over here. With George Galloway, do you know the other guy? He specializes in he was in the CIA, I think, or he was.
McGovern?
He has.
Who? Are you talking about Ray McGovern?
No. He's been all Scott over the place, really. Scott Witter, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know, they're saying something very different. So I mean, it's very hard to know exactly what's going on out there. You know. Are there times where Russia are suffer more heavy losses than we would think? I don't know. I mean, it's very difficult to tell, but it is disappointing to hear these guys talking a lot of sense. And then, as you say, they're getting all their cues from mainstream media that Russia, are really struggling out there. I think it's only a matter of time, and particularly in the Donbass region, where Russia have got those guys surrounded. And they're running out of weapons, they're running out of food, they're running out of everything.
Well, you know, the thing is, and I know that Mearsheimer would acknowledge this. I don't know what Russia's plans were. They don't tell me that. I'm not high enough on their pay scale yet. So I don't know exactly what we were supposed to expect. You see. Well, I mean, you see a very, very clear victory in Azovstal, Steelworks, and Mariupol, and you're seeing a lot of what's clearly progress. At the other time, you see other things where you had the Russian military in the suburbs of Kiev for a while, and then they left, and then they were surrounding Kharkov, and then they, you know, backed off. And was this intentional, or was this, or were these setbacks? And, you know, I don't know. But what I do know is that Russia has the capability of meeting whatever their objectives are and sustaining whatever losses they need to in order to get to those objectives. They have that. And, this is recognized. And, you know, you can pour more and more weaponry into Ukraine. And what does that do? Well, it does potentially two things. One is prolong the struggle, prolong this, cause more sacrifices on both sides. But the thing is, if ultimately, short of a nuclear Third World War, that's the only thing that's going to stop Russia from meeting its military objectives, I'm sure, and nobody else, there's no serious person who I think would disagree. Well, what happens if Russia has to sacrifice more in order to meet its objectives? Well, what happens to its demands? It's going to want more. You know, if this had been negotiated back in January or early February before the actual hostilities broke out, Russia's demands were simply the Minsk Accords, neutrality for Ukraine, and the Minsk Accords. And the Minsk Accords called for, ultimately, the Donbass to be reincorporated into Ukraine. And so the more fighting that goes on, well, I mean, the idea that the Donbass is ever going to be reincorporated into Ukraine, that's way out the window now. And so what are the new demands going to be? What's going to be the fate of Odessa? If this goes on and on and on, is Odessa going to be taken away from Ukraine? I mean, the more they're fighting, and people like Boris Johnson who say, no negotiations. We can win this, guys. Come on, we can win this. And they're not going to win it. And, you know, and the death and misery in Ukraine is going to be just multiple.
Exacerbated.
Yeah, exacerbated. What are people even thinking?
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit like accusing your wife of cheating on you, and you do it so often that eventually she gets fed up of it, and she does go and cheat on you. You know, it's like they're bringing about the very thing that they claim not to want. But of course, they claim a lot of things, and they're always lying. But you know, the Chris Hedges report, that guy I mentioned, Andrew Bakovitz, the other thing that they mentioned, is that apparently, you know, according to them, that the Russian military is really, really poor. It's really discovered that it's really unsophisticated, and it's really struggled, and it's really crappy, really. And again, that is not my understanding of it when I listen to Scott Witter and people like Colonel McGregor, that they are not a huge army, but they are very well organized, and they are very sophisticated, and they, you know, they're courageous, and they're very professional. But there's this other argument that they're really sort of disorganized, and no one's really in command, and they've lost all these people, and they're really a shambles, really, you know. But here's another thing, Patrick. I think that Putin wanted to show some strength, and he wanted, no one had listened to him, and he took the action. But I don't for a second believe that Putin wanted this to escalate. And he must be having some anxiety realizing just the insanity of the kind of maniacs that he's dealing with in the West, when you have people like Finland and Sweden talking about coming into NATO and things like that. I mean, he must be having at some point thinking, did I do the right thing? What if this escalates into a wider conflict where it destroys Europe and Russia and God? You know, because I don't think Putin, you know, is... He's a politician. He's got his interests. And no one who's going to be the leader of a major country like the Russian Federation is going to be an angel. They can't afford to be. But I don't think that he's a fundamentally bad person. I don't. From what I know of him, I think he has a conscience. And I don't think that he wants the death and misery of, you know, that what's happening there. And especially he doesn't want it to escalate. But I wonder, is he anxious, you know?
Well, we'll talk about that on the other side of the break.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
That is Thursday. Good song for Thursday. And you were asking about... Excuse me?
I said that little piece is kind of like, you know, I write songs, but I also write instrumentals, and I have done since I was a kid. I was good at composition. It's very similar to the type of thing I would write, you know, those little sort of... little waltzes with simple melodies.
Well, that is... Filbert Applebag, who I will be on with tomorrow, and he composed that. I really like it. But, you know, regarding Putin and, you know, the thing about Putin is, in the West, he is portrayed as really aggressive and a madman, and just and the fact is that he's actually not at all aggressive. He's very cautious. I think he's very risk averse.
And he's slow to anger.
Yes, slow to anger. A very cautious man. A very careful man. Very careful. I would call him the Pat Mustard of world statesmen. And if you watch Father Ted, you might remember the character of Pat Mustard, the mailman or the milkman. I don't know if you remember that, but somebody out there is getting a kick out of that reference. Anyway, you think about. Like what happened after 9/11? What does he do? He lets the Americans use former Soviet military bases to surround Afghanistan, and he's With Crimea, people think, oh, he went and invaded Crimea. You know, when Crimea declared independence from Ukraine was 1992. It declared independence. It never wanted to be part of post-Soviet Ukraine. And it declared independence in 1992, and then negotiations between Russia and Ukraine, they froze the declaration. So it just simply got unfrozen. This wasn't Russia. This was all. Everything Russia is doing is reactive, and the fact that Putin has invaded Ukraine is after 8 years. He just felt he had his back completely against the wall, and you know, if you're at the edge of a cliff and somebody's pushed you and pushed you, maybe they push you and push you and push you, but once you get close enough to that cliff. You're not going to accept that same level of pushing anymore. And I think that's.
And we don't need to speculate. I mean, you know, Putin's been like a broken record for years now, you know, talking about this. And, you know, he famously said that, you know, NATO weapons and hypersonic missiles in Ukraine can reach Moscow in 4 minutes. He said this is like having a knife to our throat. I mean, I don't understand how this narrative has gained such momentum. But again, people aren't getting a say. So even these clowns on some of these sort of more centrist type networks, which are apparently a reaction to mainstream media, when they're calling Putin, not only is it an offense to my sensibilities, because I have a certain respect for Putin and his patience and his reservedness in the face of such provocation, but they don't have public support, but people aren't having any sort of say in the matter, you know?
Well, I tell you what, I really appreciate you joining me today, Paul. And
it was a pleasure to both of you.
Do it again soon. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.